We are considering the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard. I left out the word it because it is not in the original Greek, and therefore I just read it as it is declared in the original. I want to extract from this verse the phrase, but the word preach did not profit them. The writer, of course, to the Hebrews is primarily speaking of those during the days of Moses and to some extent Joshua, because his name is mentioned in the chapter. Those who failed to inherit the good land. Ancient Israel served as an example to New Testament Israel. What happened to them is happening to many of us today. A.W. Pink, I picked it up off the shelf because I couldn't find the old copy that I had, wrote a small booklet called Profiting from the Word and lists a number of ways one can profit from the Word. He also showed why many will not profit from the Word. I suggest that you get a copy of that book for yourself as a devotional. You can finish it maybe in a few months if you go through it slowly. And these are ways to profit by reading other men who went before. I'm not approaching this meditation from the perspective of A.W. Pink. I would not be plagiarizing. But from the perspective of my own experience in the church and with the scriptures, why many are not profiting from the word. Now in this verse, there are a few things that come to light. One is a comparison that is made. We are told in the text, for the gospel was preached unto us as well as unto them. That's a comparison. Today you and I have the sad notion that ancient Israel were accountable for the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. Peter said, you have by wicked hands taken and slain. The crucifixion of our Lord only brought a climax to the hatred of men in the church for God. God used that hatred to bring his son to the cross. Don't ever blame the Jews for killing Jesus. No one should lay blame on any ethnic group or denomination for the death of our Lord Jesus, because the God of glory had ordained Christ to suffer in this fashion. God simply used the events of evil men in the church, the Sanhedrin, the scribes, the Pharisees, the priests, to nail him to the cross. Nevertheless, a stark comparison is made between ancient Israel and us today, New Testament Israel. For the gospel was preached unto us as well as unto them. Israel had an incomplete version of the gospel. But it was the gospel. They were to look ahead, as Abraham did, who saw Christ and was glad, to the coming Savior who was to atone for their sins. But they began to go after other gods, other gospels of the land, and yet was trusting in the rituals to secure them a place in heaven. In the year 587 BC, the temple was left as rubble, and God forsook his inheritance. The comparison today is that you and I have substance instead of rituals, instead of types and shadows. Christ came. The very date of our calendar, 2021, is dated in the year of our Lord. Every day you mark off a day, this is called the year of our Lord. And history revolves around Christ and the gospel. We have substance today. We live in a season of grace, the day of our Lord. But some of the things that happened in Israel's time is happening to the church today. These words are meant to show this stark comparison. For the gospel was preached unto us as well as unto them. The reason why the apostle used the past tense for the gospel was preached unto us is because he is referring to that time. We can substitute the word for the gospel is preached unto us as well as unto them. But we see a comparison, a stark comparison. We see, secondly, a conclusion from the past. As we consider the text carefully, we read, "But the word preach did not profit them." When you and I read through the book of Numbers, we will see why the word preach did not profit the Israelites. In one incident, the Lord said in Numbers 14, you remember, to Moses, "How long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me? With all the signs which I have performed among them, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them. And I will make you a nation greater and mightier than they." Of course, you know what happened. God took out all who were 21 and older. And he raised up the children who were under that age. But the mightier and greater nation is the New Testament church, the believer, the child of God. That's the nation that is mightier. The converted person, the one with the Holy Spirit who gives us might. This is the conclusion the writer to the Hebrews makes in conjunction with Israel after the flesh. Paul even makes it clearer in his commentary on the wilderness sojourn in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 5, making a parallel between Old Testament Israel and us today, saying, but with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. King James say differently, overthrown in the wilderness. We do not have to read the whole Bible to form this conclusion of our fathers. And by the way, they are called our fathers, even though they were Jews. Scripture is filled with comparisons and with conclusions. So we see this stark comparison. We see this conclusion from the past. But we see, thirdly, a common problem. The last sentence says, not being mixed with faith in them that heard. The common problem back then is the common problem today. Faith did not accompany hearing. Faith is equivalent, of course, to salvation. That's how the word is used in the context. By faith, by salvation, by Jesus. Noah, having heard the word of God, moved with fear. By salvation. Or you can substitute the word for Christ. Twice in the verse, the third person, them, is used. It's a reminder to us that history is being repeated today. Just as the type and the shadows did not resonate faith in the worshipers of the past, the substance and the reality have not reflected faith in them at present. We should ponder these things carefully as we open up this text a little this morning. Faith is the gift of God. To have faith is to believe and act upon that which we say we believe. That's what faith is. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtain a good report. And then you have a list. By faith, Abel offered a better, a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. You have a whole list. He acted on what his parents most likely tell him. Don't try fig leaves. Use blood of a spotless animal. Cain, on the other hand, had a different idea. Faith is the gift of God, the Bible says. Faith without works is dead. He also said that if we are to be Christians, we ought to be doers of the word and not hearers only. So I've shown you these three things in unpacking Hebrews 4, verse 2. Just a bit. I can go on, but time would not allow me. But I want to conclude by answering the question, how can I profit from the word today? It will be remiss if I don't give the applications to this information quickly. One profits from the word when convinced that what they are hearing is the word. One profits from the word only when convinced that what they are hearing is the word. Everything you're hearing on the social platform is not the word. It is a partial word. It is part of the word, but it is not the word. Everyone preaching may not be preaching the word. The word is the Lord Jesus himself, and the word is the Holy Scriptures. We have the revelation of the word, and you have the personification of the word. It must be preached. Christ must be preached. Every evangelist we listen to via the social media platforms is not faithful to the word. Sometimes I, go through the channels, and it's amusing what you see. And these people have all the money that they can have a slot. I get a call from WMCA some time ago, and it says, I can give you a slot. Why don't you come on from your church? I'll give you a slot for 20 minutes for $500. I said, you should give me a slot free because I got the gospel. You should be glad. And by the way, I just heard from him again today, Chris Aronson. You know who's going to be in town? Conrad and Bailey. I could go there and mix with these guys, but I am contented to be on Flatbush. Much contented. With the glut of information today, Christian behavior should change. But sad, today we are no longer the salt of the earth, the light of the world. The world has overtaken the church. We profit from the word when we are convinced that what we are hearing is the word. Psalm 119 verse 23, the psalmist says, I esteem all thy precepts to be right. Therefore, I hate every false way. When we esteem God's precepts to be right, we will hate every false way. And that's why at times ministers get irritated. When we hear the word with its correct interpretation and appropriate applications, though it comes from a minister, the word ought to be obeyed. Hear what the apostle said to the church of the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And I turn there, 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. There the apostle says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you receive it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you. That hear? That believe. One profits from the word when they are convinced that what they are hearing is the word. Two, one profits from the word when they are convicted by the word. Whenever we read of preaching in the apostolic age, it was noted by a fundamental response. And when they heard, they were pricked to the heart and asked, ... And when they hear, they were moved by the Spirit. But we also read, and when they heard, they stopped their ears. Something happened. Josiah, when he heard the scripture that was read, he tore his clothes and said, "Go and inquire for me out of the words of this book," the scriptures, "for we have greatly sinned against God." Josiah reformed a nation. He profited from the word. In Acts 18, when the Philippian jailer, where Paul and Silas was locked in, asked, "What must I do to be saved?" Cornelius asked, "What does hinder me from being baptized?" Profiting from the word. And of course, the thief on the cross, having heard the word around the cross, with men taunting, said, "Lord, remember me when you come to your kingdom." You see, anybody can preach the word, but the point is profiting from the word, convicted by the word, moved by the word. Conviction was wrought in all of these examples that I show you. And these all profited from the word. But we come to our last point this morning. One profits from the word when they have become converted by the word. I mean, this is the only way that you and I would profit from the word. And this may be a fundamental reason why people do not profit from the word. If you and I come here with a wrong disposition, you will not profit from the word. When a person is driven by emotion and external joy, they will get zero from the messages of God's word. We will see the preacher and not the person the preacher is preaching. To convert is to change. You know, it's like you got a $100 bill and you want to convert it to Zimbabwe bond notes. You don't get back your $100 bill, it is converted. You get 20s and 10s and 50s and singles and fives, and it's converted. Change. It's different. When you look at it, it's different in your hand. It's not the same. What it means to convert. When one is profiting from the word, that profit will manifest itself in change. Sometimes many changes. Today people proudly say, "I'm not changing." Well, this is a manifestation that they are not profiting from God's word. The moment you have that attitude, "You ain't changing me," is because you're not profiting from God's word. It's contrary to scripture. The Lord Jesus teach that. As a matter of fact, we are told in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. The word that described as glass or mirror that we look into is the Bible, the Word. We are changed because of what we see of ourselves in the light of what the Bible says. Some change slower than others, but some never change because they haven't profited from the Word. And each person have to look back and look within and see the various changes. Apostle Paul, in speaking of grace, says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Romans 8:29. The word conform is the word to change progressively, slowly. Conform, being changed because of conversion. Is this you? I'm serious. Is this you? Is this you? The problem is sometimes you and I look in a mirror, and when you see all of those, when you, especially in the morning, when you see all of your eyes, sometimes I'm told, wipe your eyes, cut the hair out of your nose. I'm being inspected. And I got a little thing that you're pushing your nose and you hear, wee. And cut your hair out of your nose because you're standing up in front of people. Change. In light of what the Bible says, it is only God, Christ, that doesn't need to change. Behold, I am God, I change not. You and I can't say that. And some of us dare to say, I ain't changing. We use God? So be careful with this text in mind. Be careful that we are not following the pattern of ancient Israel, where the writer to the Hebrews said, but the word preach did not profit them. We profit from the word when we are convinced that what we are hearing is God's word. If we are convinced that what we are hearing is God's word, we have a due responsibility towards God's word. We profit from the word when we are convicted by the word, when the word speaks to us. But ultimately, we profit from the word when we are changed by the word. Converted to Christ, we will grow in grace and we will be gracious to others. So even though you may never read A.W. Pink's little book, Profiting from the Word, we all have the Word of God. We all hear the Word of God. Let us seek to profit from the Word. May God bless you.